Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good to be in the house of God again. Let me repeat that again. If you're looking for something to do at our church, we'd love for you to teach our kids downstairs 1 week. Amen. Oh, okay. Everybody's like, nope, we're going to stay quiet. I don't want to teach the kids. It's a blessing to be able to pour into our kids downstairs and just to see how God's raising them up to be the young men and women He called them to be. How's everybody doing? And we're in Esther chapter 5 on today. And the title of our series is God's Favor at Work. And we've seen throughout these last couple of weeks, God moving in funny ways in chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. We're going to see it again today in Esther chapter 5. Just a little background for those who didn't get a chance to be with us for our first four messages out of this series. The first chapter, I came to you guys and they were talking about King Xerxes and all the stuff that he was doing and he was trying to show off. And my question was, who's the real king? We know that the real king is God himself. And then Pastor Dwayne came back in chapter 2 and showed us how to get favor, where Esther was looking for the favor of King Xerxes. But Pastor Dwayne talked to us about how to gain favor with the Lord. How do we get favor with him? And then in chapter 3, we come to chapter 3, and then the nemesis of the story came up. Who's our arch nemesis? Don't say Satan. Our arch nemesis in the story is Haman. Haman the Agagite. And so Haman was coming in chapter 3, and the title of that sermon was Here Comes Haman, because he was actually coming to actually inflict harm on God's people. And then last week, in chapter 4, Pastor Dwayne talked to us about some pitfalls for us to avoid whenever we do get in a position of power, when God gives us favor. Real quick, I don't expect you guys to know this, but he talked about three pitfalls for us to avoid. First, he said, avoid the pitfall of becoming disconnected. Esther's in a position of power and she didn't even know what was going on around her. Pastor Dwayne said, we can't get to the point where God's blessing us so much that we become disconnected to our brothers and sisters and those around us. He also said we have to avoid the pitfall of always wanting to be safe, because Esther said, I'm gonna send Mordecai these clothes and tell him to have these clothes and it's gonna be taken care of because I'm in a good place. I'm in the palace and nothing gonna happen to me. And Mordecai was like, no, sister girl. One way or another, God's work is gonna get done. Sometimes we have to take risk whenever we're trying to do what God has called us to do. And if we're in God's will, he's gonna take care of us. Avoid the pitfall of becoming disconnected. Avoid the pitfall of power. We're going to talk about it today. His last point was this. Avoid the pitfall of thinking that God's favor is just for you. God's blessing me. God's blessing me. God's blessing me. Not Adele, not Brittany, nobody else, not Gabby, not Pastor Dwayne. No. God gives us things so that we can give to our brothers and sisters. God blesses us with his favor and with his blessing so that we don't hoard it for ourselves, but that we give it to our brothers and sisters. And that was chapter 4. And then we come to chapter 5. And I don't want you guys to think that I'm super charismatic in my title today. Because some people will say this, Sister Caitlin, that in a title like this, what do you want? They'll say, ask God for whatever you want, and he's going to give it to you no matter what. Name it and claim it. Speak it. And I can't think of something to rhyme with speak it. Speak it and believe it. But that's not what I'm talking about right here, because when this title says, what do you want? If we ask God for the things we want and it's according to his will, then we can expect to receive that thing. And on today in chapter 5, we're going to see where the king is going to be actually asking Esther, what do you want? What do you want from me? This is an earthly king asking Esther, what do you want from me? And what I want you guys to understand is the same thing happens in our spiritual lives. You have to understand, as people of God and in the position where we find ourselves as his children, God is standing up in heaven and asking us, what do you want? What is it that you need in your life? I'm your good father. I want to give you what you need. And we're in that position, as we're going to see in our sermon on today. Esther was in that position with an earthly king, but we have a heavenly father. And so if our desires line up with what God wants, we can expect to receive whatever it is we ask of God. I don't think that's super charismatic. I think that's what the Bible said, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And he gives us those things that we ask for. So we're going to read through these 14 verses in Esther. For those online, again, we're in Esther chapter 5. You can follow along on the screen or in the Bible in front of you. If you need a Bible and you're here today or you're online and you need a Bible, please get with me or Pastor Dwayne. We can get you a Bible. We'd like everybody to have a hard copy of God's word, not just an online copy. I'm showing my age. I'm sorry. It's good to have a hard copy of God's word. Let's pray together before we start. Father, we do thank you for being our living hope. Now we thank you that we're not alone, whatever situation we find ourselves in. We thank you that you're a way maker. God, we thank you that you are the great I am. God, we thank you that your love remains with us. We don't just sing these songs because they're songs to sing, but we truly believe that they all apply to our lives because we're your children. As we get into your word on today, God, we pray that you will speak to us. Help us to take this message to our brothers and sisters that we encounter this week. Those that aren't saved, God, pray that they will realize their need for a savior, God, when we interact with them. God, we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen and amen. Look at what the Bible says, Esther chapter 5. It says, on the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her and held out to her the gold scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. Then the king asked, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be given you." Esther said, "If it pleases the king," replied Esther, "let the king together with Haman come today to a banquet I have prepared for him. Bring Haman at once," the king said, "so that we may do what Esther asks." So the king and Haman went to the banquet Esther had prepared. As they were drinking wine, this king drinks a lot. Y'all notice that, huh? In the first chapter, they're drinking, and then they drink some more, and now they're drinking right here. I gave my spill on drinking already, so I'm not going to get into it today. The king again asked Esther, "Now, what is your petition? It will be given you. And what is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted." And Esther replied, "My petition and my request is this. If the king regards me with favor, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet I will prepare for them. Then I will answer the king's question." In this verse 9, it changes a little bit. Haman went out that day happy and in high spirits. Remember, Haman is the enemy. Happy and in high spirits. But when he saw Mordecai at the king's gate and observed that he neither rose nor showed fear in his presence, he was filled with rage against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home, calling together his friends and Zeresh, his wife. The last portion says this: Haman boasted to them about his vast wealth, his many sons, and all the ways the king had honored him and how he had elevated him above the other nobles and officials. "And that's not all," Haman added. "I'm the only person Queen Esther invited to accompany the king to the banquet she gave. She has invited me along with the king tomorrow. But all this gives me no satisfaction as long as I see that Jew, Mordecai, sitting at the king's gate." His wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, "Have a pole set up reaching to a height of 50 cubits or 75 feet and ask the king in the morning to have Mordecai impaled on it. Then go with the king to the banquet and enjoy yourself." This suggestion delighted Haman and he had the pole set up. This Haman is a crazy man. This Haman has issues. Understand this, saints of God, that my title for today is, "What do you want?" The first point you have to understand whenever you're going before the Lord is this: the king actually wants to hear from you. That the king, this first portion, it talks about this king, Xerxes, actually asks Esther two times, "What do you want? What do you want is going to be granted to you?" Now, remember last week, Pastor Dwayne shared with us that this was a huge risk for Queen Esther to come before the king because he hadn't called for her for a bunch of days, and anybody that went before the king without being summoned, they could be put to death. And so Esther finds herself in this position: do I take this chance of possibly dying or go before the king because I'm thinking about my people. This man, Xerxes, in history is known as a very cruel person. He's known in the annals as one that had no sympathy or no mercy. And so Esther finds herself in this position coming before this earthly king where she may lose her life. So she's a little intimidated to go before him. And as I was studying this last week, getting ready for this sermon, the thing that jumped out at me off of the page was Xerxes is an earthly king who's hostile and always without mercy. But our God who's in heaven is the exact opposite. That the king that we serve, this king that we were singing about, this God that we were singing about in all of these songs, that the Bible tells us is that as children of God, we can go boldly before the throne of grace and find help and find mercy for the things that we need. Anytime we need to go before God, we don't have to worry about possibly if he's going to accept us or not, or if we're going to gain his favor, because we can come before God because we're his children. It's interesting to me whenever I see children that are scared to go to their parents. Anybody ever saw that before? That I had cousins. I hope they don't listen to this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Maybe they'll listen. But I had cousins who were scared to go up to my aunts and uncles because every time they would approach them, some kind of harm or infliction was coming their way. They were either getting hit or they were getting cursed at, or they were getting things thrown at them, or even if they tried to get a hug, they get pushed away. And so they were actually scared to go before their parents. And that's not the way that any parent should be. But when it comes to God, understand that it doesn't matter if we've messed up in the past. Listen, it doesn't matter if we find ourselves sinning in a sinful state, we can still come before God and repent, and he still welcomes us with open arms. That we can approach the king because the king actually wants to hear from us, just like the king wanted to hear from Esther in this situation. He wanted to know, what do you want, Esther? And I'm going to give it to you. And as you look at this portion of scripture, it says this, that Esther, whenever she went before the queen, before the king, she put on her royal robe and stood in the inner court. Again, I have all kind of notes for this sermon, but I'm knocking some of it off, so we're not here for 2 hours. Amen. Look, he's like, I want to see the Saints game. Amen. What time the Saints play? 12. We'll be out by 12. Esther didn't come before the king anyway. She came before him with her royal robe, and then she stood in the inner court. She actually presented herself to come before God, and this was a question that God gave to me. How do I present myself before I come before the Lord? When it's time for worship, listen, when it's time to play that keyboard, when it's time to preach before you all, whenever it's time to actually get ready for the worship service, my argument is this. I shouldn't just come into this place last minute. Maybe I come in late, haven't rehearsed, haven't prayed, haven't gotten my sermon together. Just come anyway because God, take whatever you want. No, I need to prepare myself to come into the house of God so that God will be pleased whenever I come into his presence. And so Esther actually put on her royal robe and she stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall, and she presented herself actually worthy to come before the king, and then she found favor. This is a question for all of us here today. When it's time to come before the Lord, do I just come before him any kind of way? Or do I actually prepare myself? Throughout the week, am I praying? I'll give you even this on Sunday mornings. Are you praying for the pastors whenever you come into church? It's okay, because I usually don't do it either. So I'm talking about myself. I have to make myself, when Pastor Dwayne preached, I have to actually stop and pray and be like, Lord, speak through Pastor Dwayne on today. Lord, help the praise team and myself to actually present a worthy offering before you, because I don't want to just bring you anything. I want to come before you and you be pleased when I come before you. And so Esther puts on her royal robe and she stood there. And at that time, she found favor, and Xerxes actually asked her, what do you want? So from now on, not only on Sundays, I want you to think about this all throughout the week. Do I prepare myself when it's time to come into the presence of God? Listen, when it's time for me to pray, am I actually understanding just how important it is to pray to God? Because the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 7, that if we ask, we're going to receive. And if we seek, we're going to find. And if we knock, the door is going to be open unto us. Jesus actually told his disciples this in Matthew chapter 7 as he was talking about this practice of prayer and actually coming before God and actually understanding that whenever we come before him and we ask him for those things that we need, that he's going to give us what we need according to his will. Look at what it says right here. It says, Esther said two times, if it pleases the king. If it pleases the king, then let this happen. And in saying if it pleases the king, it's like saying if this finds your approval, or listen, according to your will, let this thing happen. And that's what we need to understand, that whenever we come before God and we're praying, and yes, God wants to hear from us, but we have to make sure that as we come before God, that we're praying according to your will, God, let this thing happen. And a lot of times people will be like, or ask me for prayer, or they'll ask for certain things, and you start praying according to God's will on certain relationships or certain jobs or certain things that they're doing, and they'll stop and be like, no, don't pray that. Pray that. Pray this way. This is how I want you to pray. But if your will is against God's will, then you shouldn't be praying that. That if you're in a relationship that's not holy and actually not pleasing to God, but you're still thinking that this relationship is going to work out because I'm going to make it work out, but you know it's not according to God's will, that's not a prayer that's going to be answered. And in the process of us trying to make things work and God, the king, wanting to hear from us and actually asking us, what do we want? What do we want? We have to make sure that everything we bring before God lines up with his will and lines up with his way. So when you're praying for your family, you need to pray according to God's will. When you're praying about your job, you need to pray according to God's will. When you're praying about your future and relationships and what your life is going to look like in the future, you need to pray according to God's will, and at that point, that's when God grants your request. But so many times, I'm just gonna pray, but I'm not sure if this is what God wants. And sometimes people pray for things that they know that God doesn't want. That I have colleagues that have been on jobs where they know that the job that they were on was actually a corrupt job, or they were stealing money, or they were doing things in terms of insurance claims and not actually filing the right insurance claim. And so they know that this company or this organization is not doing the right thing, and they're still saying like, well, this may be where God wants me to be because maybe I can go there and make a change. No. If it's not happening before you get there, there's a good chance you're going to fall into the same thing that they're doing, as they're being corrupt and actually taken away from people. So again, that's against God's will. So if you're praying according to God's will that God will bless you on that job, it's not going to happen. Let's go to relationships. I have young men that I have counseled in the past and been with, and they say, I'm praying that this lady, this young lady is going to be my wife or going to be my future spouse, but that person's married already. That's a problem, Miss Evelyn, because that person's married already, and the Bible said this, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. And so if you're praying that this woman is going to be your wife, but she's already married to somebody else, already you're starting down the wrong path, because that's not God's will. Yes, the king wants to hear from us, but we have to make sure that the prayers that we're bringing before him, our petitions that we're bringing before him, all line up with what he says and what he wants in our lives to glorify himself, but also for the good of us in the world. And so the king wanted to hear from Esther at this point, and he asked her two different times, what do you want? And Esther was very careful in saying, if it pleases you, and if I find favor in your sight, let this happen. And that thing did happen, that the king did actually grant her request. So yes, the king wanted to hear from Esther, and our heavenly king wants to hear from us. The second point, and I only have 2 points today, is this: Haman wanted the wrong thing. So Esther wanted the right thing. Esther was fighting for her. Pastor Dwayne said last week where Esther sent Mordecai the clothes, and she's like, go ahead and stop crying and get up and everything's going to be all right. And she had to figure out, am I going to put my life on the line for somebody else? Am I actually going to possibly sacrifice my life for all of these other people? Esther was actually trying to care for other people, and the favor that God had given to her, she was trying to use that to help other people. the favor, the position that God had put her in. She was thinking about what it would mean for all of these other people. And Haman is only thinking about Haman. Haman was the exact opposite of Esther. He wanted the wrong thing. The weird thing about Haman is this. He had all of this stuff. He had 10 children. He had all of the riches. Look, he said he whenever he called them up, he said he called together his friends. Here's the funny part. He called together his friends and his wife. Did he have to brag to his wife about all the stuff that probably she helped him to get? I think the 10 kids probably came through her. Haman boasted to them about his vast wealth. She knew about that. His many sons and all the ways the king had honored him and how he had elevated him above all the other nobles and officials. So Haman has all of this stuff and all of these supposedly good things in his life, but he's frustrated. That he has all of these things that on the outside, people say like, yeah, you're rich, you have children, you're getting promoted by the queen and the king and all of these things that you have, then you should have all of the joy in the world. But he's frustrated about this one Jew who won't bow down to him. And that's a picture, listen, that's a picture of people in the world that have all of this wealth and all of this riches and all of these relationships and all of this stuff, but they don't have the Lord. And whenever you meet them, you're like, you're frustrated. They're always stressed out. They're always anxious. They're always angry. You see them on the road and they're driving their Lamborghinis and their Porsche, but they have road rage and running people off the road and everything. You're like, you're frustrated even though you have a bunch of stuff. Because you could have all the stuff in the world, but if you don't have the Lord, you're going to be frustrated. Growing up, this song, let's see if anybody knows the song. It said, this joy that I have, the world, look, the old school, Sister Frances and Sister Evelyn, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. And we would sing that song, and I'm literally 10, 15 minutes, they would just put different phrases on the song about what the world didn't give it, the joy of the Lord, the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away, because there's a peace that comes when we find ourselves in God's will. But if we find ourselves like Haman and we're wanting the wrong thing, and listen, the wrong thing is this, if you want everything for yourself and you're being selfish, that's the wrong thing. We're, from the very beginning, we're telling you God's favor that he gives to us is for other people. So whenever God gives us, Pastor Dwayne talked about the lottery, the lotto, whatever, the other day. Maybe it'll come through the lottery. Maybe you have a relative that died and leave you a whole bunch of money, whatever it is. Shaking your head, no, GT. When God blesses you with whatever he blesses you, don't be like Haman and try to hoard it all for yourself. Haman wanted the wrong thing. He's being selfish all throughout this thing. I want this. I want Mordecai to bow to me. I'm going to brag to you about all of this wealth that I have and all of my children and all of this honor that I have. And he's a miserable person because he doesn't have the joy of the Lord. Versus Esther, who was actually thinking about her people and disregarded, Pastor Dwayne said it last week, disregarded her safety to take care of these people. Haman, on the other hand, is selfish and trying to do all that he can to get rid of not only Mordecai, but all of the Jews. Side note. Jews are at war right now with Palestinians. And I'm hearing both sides from people. The Jews deserve it. Palestinians are wrong. The Jews are wrong for how they treated people in the past. Palestinians need to do this. All of these different opinions. And again, what I said behind the keyboard is this. We should not be killing each other and committing atrocities against each other. So if it was the other way around and it was Israel that attacked Gaza and attacked the Palestinians, then the same, that everybody should be saying, you're wrong for doing that. But it came from the other side. And the problem is right now, it's another source of hatred to where now there's going to be retaliation where they're saying the Jews need to do what the Palestinians did to them and just kill everybody. And that doesn't help anybody. So Pastor Taylor, you're standing up here, and as a Christian pastor, you understand that the Jews are God's people. I do understand that. You understand that the Bible talks about God fighting for the Jews. I do understand all of that. But this is what I'm saying. We shouldn't be at the point to where people do something to somebody else, and then we take revenge for the thing that was done. So people just, they say this, Miss Evelyn. Oh, take up for the Jews, no matter what, or the people on the side of the Palestinians. Take up for the Palestinians, no matter what. And you need to stop looking at whether they're Jewish or Palestinian and say this: what is God's will, and where is God in this situation? How do we bring peace to this situation between two groups that have been fighting for years? Nope, for decades. Nope, centuries. Nope. Thousands of years they've been fighting against each other and killing each other and retaliating back against one another because there's anger and hatred that's going on. And the same thing is happening with Haman, where he wants the wrong thing because he wants to kill all of these Jews. There's hate in his heart. And anytime we have hate in our heart, that's not a good thing. Here's the question: who do you hate today? This is real easy for us to look at this scripture and say, like, Haman the Agagite is upset because the Jews killed all of his people back in the day, and now he's trying to inflict harm on them. And so we understand where he's coming from, and we look at this story and we isolate it to what's happening back then. But whenever we look at our own hearts and we look at what's going on today, a big problem in our world today is the fact that there are black people that hate white people. And there are white people that hate black people, and there are Hispanic people that hate Asian people, and there are all kinds of people that hate all of these other people. It's like when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing is going to be. I'm not going to look at Jackie or JT and say, oh, their skin color is different from us. We're going to be celebrating Jesus together, and we're going to enjoy the presence of the Lord together. But is the trick of the enemy to put color before us or put somebody's nationality before and say, oh, this person is from this part of the world, so I don't like them. I'm prejudiced against them. And listen, if you're prejudiced against one person, you're prejudiced. Period. You say, well, I'm black. I don't like white people. I'm prejudiced. I'm not just prejudiced against white people. I'm prejudiced against mankind because God made Jenna the same way he made me. And God made Pastor Dwayne the same way he made Jelly. And so you look at this right here, and this actual attempt at genocide of the Jews is going on in our world right now. And what do we do about it is we speak up about it. You don't just stay quiet about it and be like, oh, well, I'm not going to say anything about Israel and Palestine. I'm not going to say anything about the many different people in Africa who are killing their brothers and sisters because they're from different tribes. I'm just going to stay out of it. First of all, you need to be praying about it. But then whenever the opportunity comes for you to speak into that situation, you need to be bold enough to speak into it and say, this is what God says. This is what God wants to happen. And in this situation right here, anybody can look at it and say, tell Haman, hey, Haman, you're wrong because you're trying to kill these people who are in this province and they haven't done you anything. There's hatred in your heart. That's not a good thing, because if you don't take care of hatred and it's not addressed, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. So how could he have all of this hatred when he had all of this wealth? How could he have all of this hatred when he had all of these children? How could he have all of this hatred whenever he had the promotion of the king and accolades from the queen and everything was going good? But that's how the enemy works. That the blessings or the things that God gives to us, we're not able to see that because there's some form of hate, there's some form of envy, there's some form of prejudice in our hearts where we're looking at a certain people or we're looking at what somebody else has and we're upset about it instead of thanking God for what he's given to us. If we're really honest with each other, all of us have God's favor. Listen, you woke up this morning. We've all been blessed by God because, listen, you were able to leave your house and you weren't confined to a bed. You're not in hospice as one of our patients that me and Pastor Dwayne see all the time. You're not this young lady that I saw on Saturday who at 40 years old passed away and I have to do her funeral next Saturday. You're still here in the land of the living. So listen, God's giving you favor. You may not have the wealth and the riches that Haman has or the 10 children that he have or promoted by the president and all this other stuff, but you're alive, you're breathing, you're not connected to a medical device. You're going to walk out of this place. You're going to have food whenever you go home. If you're like me, you're going to take a nap whenever you get home. You have the activity of your life. God has given you favor. Haman wanted the wrong thing. We go from the first part to where the king wanted to hear from Esther, and Esther used that opportunity to advocate for her people and to actually stand up for her people. She used the favor that she had to help other people out, and Haman is using his favor right here to destroy people. So when you find yourself this week in a position on your job to where God has put you over somebody, when you find yourself in a position of favor at school, when you find yourself in a position of favor in the community to where God has you up here, remember Pastor Taylor said, God has given me this opportunity to help somebody else out, to help somebody else that's down low, somebody that can't speak up for themselves, somebody that doesn't have a voice, somebody that actually can't represent themselves. God has put me in this position to help them out. So this whole sermon today, going back to the beginning, go to the next slide. I forgot to show y'all the picture of Haman again. I like to see it because he just scowls. You can see him kind of contemplating the wrong thing. But our title today, what do you want? And this is what I want you to ask yourself. Am I asking God for the right thing? Chapter 5, Esther, the king asked her, what do you want? She asked the right thing to help out her people, to actually save a whole generation of people. And in our lives, whatever it is you're asking God for, be honest with yourself and actually, whether you do it right now or whenever you get home, am I requesting this thing strictly for me? Or am I asking this thing that God's going to give to me so that I could help out my family, my children, my brothers and sisters in my church, my people I interact with in the community, other people that again can't help themselves out. Am I asking God for favor with rain so that we can actually go in that building and help out those who probably will not get a meal if they do not come into the cafe? Or is it all about putting my name up here and everybody sees that my name is at the top and everything that I did, everything that we do in life, God is giving us favor because it's not just for us, it's for other people. Medical students, whenever you go out and serve and God puts you in a position to where you're over other medical students or you're over other residents or you're actually the doctor over a whole bunch of people, it's not so that your name can be on the plaque and you have the MD behind it or the DO behind it and everybody's praising you. No, God's put you in that position so that you can serve other people in healthcare field, and I'll say this, hopefully get them saved for eternity. That's just medical. All of us, wherever we find ourselves, God has given us favor to help other people out. Don't be like Haman wanting the wrong thing. Don't be like Haman that has hatred in his heart and has prejudice in his heart or thinking just about himself. Be like Esther and be willing, I'll say this, be willing to lay your life on the line to help somebody else out. Actually willing to give my life so that I can make sure that my brother and sister have better or that they're being taken care of. And whenever we do that, that's when we'll see the favor of God flowing in our lives. That's whenever we'll see the favor of God. Actually, I'll even say it, multiplying in our lives as those, the Bible says this, those who are faithful over a little. Yes, God will give you more and more, much more favor so that you could show that favor to other people, and it'll multiply and multiply as we're good stewards of where God has us on today. Again, chapter 5 is still kind of dark because you really don't know, are the Jews going to die? Is God going to make a way? As you go throughout Esther, we know the end of the story, but at this point, it's still at a point to where Esther and Mordecai and the people of God are having to trust God to work things out. And that's a good place for us to be. Listen, we wouldn't need to have faith if everything in your life was worked out right now. That if you had the biggest bank account and everything was good and you knew exactly how things were going to work out with school, if you knew exactly how things were going to work out with your family, if we knew exactly what was going to happen with the church, we wouldn't need to have faith. Well, we good, God. But God leaves us in these situations to where there's a little bit of uncertainty where God is saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me to take care of you and your family while your husband is getting through the situation at school where he's getting his degree and he's looking to do things with the film industry and write scripts and all that other stuff? He was telling me about that the other day, and I was like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I could write this 10-page script for a movie, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, right. But he's doing it today, and God's allowed him to continue to pursue that. God's going to take care of your family while you're in this season of life. Amen. God is faithful. God's favor he gives to us so that we can help other people out. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your favor. God, as Esther stepped out on faith and God used her position to speak up for her people, God, help us to do that today. God, help us to have faith in the uncertain times. God, when we don't know how the job's going to work out, God, when we don't know where the finances are coming from, God, when we don't know what the relationship is going to look like in the future, God, when we don't know what our health situation is going to be in the future, help us, as we sang today, to be able to say that we are not alone. You're right there with us. God, you're going to comfort us. You're going to walk with us through that season. And God, in the end, we'll praise you because you are worthy. God, we thank you for your word, where we can dive into these pages and see how you worked in the past and believe that you're going to do it in our lives as well. God, again, we thank you for the opportunity to worship together, to hear this sermon together, God, to be able to continue to grow as a church body. We praise you on today. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen and amen.